Tahrir inshallah. I instruct the cab driver, which literally means liberation, God willing. Never has there been a more accurate metaphor for the average middle-class Egyptian, even if living abroad. It's a middle class which has been constantly dwindling due to an ever-growing gap between the impoverished masses and the elite who has benefited from the 30-year rule of Mubarak. At least I can remember a time when there was someone else occupying the presidential chair, but not so my younger cousins and their friends in their 20s. And it's them who started this Egyptian spring on the internet and who carry on tweeting from Tahrir Square. The huge roundabout has been a strategic place since the 13th century. Known as Midan Ismailiyah and then renamed Tahrir by the military, which ended King Farouk's reign in 1952. Since then, just three men have effectively ruled the Arab Republic of Egypt: Gamal Abdel Nasser, Anwar al-Sadat, and Hosni Mubarak. And most likely, someone from those same military ranks will lead a transition which will, with luck, turn into a civil democracy. Tahrir is the gateway to modern central Cairo, built by the Khedive Ismail and his French architects in the 19th century. The magnificent buildings often go unnoticed by Egyptians, not only because of air and noise pollution, but also due to the pace at which the average citizen has to move. It's called to run after the bread, and it involves juggling between three jobs to make ends meet. In this heart of the city, one can sip Turkish coffee, read the papers, and have a shoeshine, all for under $2. But also, if one has the means, you could go to one of the exclusive clubs on top of the five-star hotels overlooking Tahrir and mingle with the trendy and upscale Egyptians. This huge gap between rich and poor has for many years been accepted by the less privileged with legendary patience. But also, as one writer, Khalid al-Khamisi, put it, because of the Egyptian people's genes of fear. That genetic imprint stopped people from coming out in massive protests like the one started on the 25th of January. Speaking to my friends and relatives from my safe haven in Madrid, I cannot help but feel chills down my spine as I watch events unfold, and I feel an immense sense of frustration at not being there to take part. Now the shoeshiner and the rich young clubber have been chanting the same words. Hawa yemshi, ehna ma nemshish. He goes, we stay. Tahrir is Egypt's thermometer, and for more than 10 days, it's been feverish. A fever that was contagious in such a positive way that it made Egyptians feel proud of their country once more. A rediscovery of the self, as writer Ahdaf Suwayf described it recently on the BBC airwaves. No one disagrees that the Million Man March was an unedited phenomenon, and Tahrir Square became like a huge picnic where all of us were represented, old and young, rich and poor, Muslim, Christian and agnostic, Islamists and communists, men and women, poets and businessmen, fruit sellers and doctors. But this fever was seen by the regime as a disease to be rooted out, and so it tried with collective punishments, unleashing the dark forces of its trained thugs, attacking the media, blaming it on foreign intruders, and cutting supplies of food, internet, and money. It is said that whoever controls Tahrir controls the capital, and whoever controls Cairo does so the rest of the country. There is so much uncertainty surrounding Egypt's near future, but what is certain is that after this popular movement, the wall of fear that immobilized Egyptians for decades has finally cracked.